when we came out of the church, a few of our neighbours were standing there, and even the tears are coming to my eyes now.
I'm sorry, who did you lose?
My aunt.
I'm
very
sorry
close,
to hear that.
A very close aunt, my godmother, and you know, it was difficult because we do funerals in Ireland very well.
And how come we're so good at funerals, and the fact that that's been snatched from us during this pandemic, that we perhaps can't do that send off? How hard was that for you and your family?
It was difficult. You couldn't have the same freedom, I suppose, because we're all restricted. This was a church down in rural Ireland. It wasn't online.
They didn't have the facility to
broadcast the mass or to tape it for people overseas. Difficult to find the words, but it was very intimate. But not having friends and family there, you know, was difficult, even though, you know, people find ways around it. Like, people lined the road on the way to the church because they couldn't come to the house. People were standing outside the church when we came out, just nodding to us.
So people did try and show their respects and pay their respects in any socially distanced way they could.
Absolutely. And I'm being Irish, I think we're very resourceful in that respect. RIP.ie is very good in that respect. They have started, you know, having a condolence page. So it's very handy for, you can't go to a funeral, they're all private now, but you can leave a message for the family or friends or whoever it is, which is really lovely, you know. And the messages we got were wonderful and a great source of consolation to us.
I've did a funeral myself personally for a lady whose mother had passed away and whose father was in hospital, on a COVID ward in hospital. She was an only daughter and she was in New Jersey in the USA. And I was the only one at the funeral, and myself and my colleagues. And it was very, very difficult. Very difficult for that girl and her husband and her children in New Jersey, watching it online. And I did another funeral for mum and dad. They both died within a few days of one another. And we had both coffins in the church together. Again, family in Australia, family in Canada. And nobody here, only one daughter and her family. Heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking. And then, you know, a young mother, lovely young woman recently, mother of three. It should have been a massive funeral, but only six could attend. It was her father and her sister and her husband and her three children. Like, all the extended family had to be outside or at home at their own houses watching. It was just so sad. So sad.
Grief is something personal anyway. You have to go through that and it's something you have to process. The thing of an Irish funeral does give you that sense of camaraderie or whatever, the good send-off and so on and so forth. And of course, what is it about Ireland? Your standing in society or your worth in the community is
Judged on the number of priests, exactly, on the altar.
Judged by the number of priests on the altar, or judged by the attendance at the funeral, how big was the funeral, and so on and so forth. So it's sad that, you know, we've had all sorts of restrictions in other respects that we have had to come to terms with. But I think that's the one thing that was snatched from us and that we've, you know, we've had to put up with.
Nobody does funerals like the Irish, and nobody does death like the Irish. But for the last 12 months, they have not been able to come out and console their friends and neighbours, their families. Yesterday, I did a funeral just down the road here, and the whole neighbourhood was out saying goodbye.
So they were standing outside their house?
They were standing outside, social distancing. They were all standing outside their own gates. And this has happened several times over the last 12 months, where people have come out and paid their farewell the best way they possibly can while adhering to the guidelines. My name is Mary Cuniff and I'm branch manager with Massey Brothers Funeral Directors in Temple Oak Village. And I'm also on the board of the Irish Association of Funeral Directors. It's been a difficult time since this time last year. We were thrown into something that we had never experienced before. In all the years, and I've talked to people who's in the business a lot longer than me, and they have never come across anything like this before, or having to deal with families in such difficult circumstances. Families are coming from a very different place to us right now, and they have to deal with the restrictions and guidelines imposed upon them, and we have to manage those also, and yet try and carry out the most dignified funeral possible for that family and for their loved one. There was only 6 initially, then there was 10 at a funeral, allowed to attend a funeral, then we're up to 25, back to, down to 10 again now since this present lockdown. But not only that, families were restricted in, you know, the way they would be able to conduct their funeral by bringing a loved one home, having the wake at home, friends and relatives visiting in the funeral home for a repose. Also the wearing of masks, we found it very, very difficult initially because when we're dealing with families, a lot of it is gestures and handshakes or a pat on the back to guide people or even to hold up an umbrella or at a gravesite.
So you were there normally before the pandemic, you were there compassionately also and support, but you had to back off a bit.
Yes, we did. We had to step right back. Facial expressions are very important at a time like that, or hand gestures, and we just had to step back and for all of that. And we found it very difficult. It's not in our nature. Our nature as funeral directors is to be all-encompassing of the service we give a family. And we were unable to do that. We were unable to protect them the way we wanted to protect them, to hold them, to mind them, to guide them. And this was so unnatural for us and for our profession.
Very difficult for the family because there was no socialising afterwards. Normally in Irish funerals now you have a meal afterwards.
You'd have a big knees up, wouldn't you?
You would indeed. And of course that's all gone now.
Funerals are transitions, aren't they? The deceased leaves one life and transits to the next life. And for the people that are left behind, there's transitions as well. You have to come to terms with grief, the loss, the void, the person's left in your life. And that's where Irish funerals come into their own. They're unparalleled in the world in terms of support and friendship and camaraderie around the few days of a funeral. And that helps the family to transition from, you know, having the loved one around and then them being not there. I think that is a huge lack that we haven't got during the current restrictions. It's there in spirit, all right, but it's not there in physical presence. We had a family funeral now, it's many years ago, and the house was full for 3 days. You can't have that at the moment where the restrictions are concerned. So that support and camaraderie and friendship from Irish people, okay, it's still there in spirit, but it's lacking in physical terms.
While we were doing our utmost for our bereaved families, we were very conscious of our own situations and our own families and, you know, our people in the business. Perhaps they have situations at home whereby they might have a child with cystic fibrosis or a husband and a wife getting cancer treatment. And we had to be very mindful of our people and our colleagues in our business, that they were being taken care of and that they were being looked after and that they were possibly getting the professional help they needed themselves to enable them to do their job and enable them to carry out their duties, fully clad in PPE, going into situations they did not know where they were going to. It was a very difficult time for us all in the profession. They're conscientious, they're loyal, they have such empathy, and to help families get through 3 or 4 of the worst days of their lives. In some cases, and in most cases, you have to put yourself in that family's shoes. You have to walk in their shoes. They're very difficult shoes to walk into. And so therefore you have to have your own self-care, look after yourself and look after your colleague. The winter time of the year, normally you would see a spike in death rates around the country due to, you know, people maybe giving up. They can't, you know, they don't want to face another year, or they don't want to face into another Christmas. They have enough, their living is done. Or that there might be a spike because of flu. But this year in particular, we had the added spike with COVID. We found that funeral directors, we had to assist one another, we had to help one another and call on all our resources to get us through. Especially in the rural areas, funeral directors would work together to help one another out with vehicles and assisting at funerals. And here in the city as well, you know, in the cities, we would call for the assistance of our neighbouring funeral director for the use of a funeral home or extra vehicles or whatever. So, I mean, we were all in this together, giving the best possible service to our families in this particular crisis. We have managed to work around situations whereby only six can attend a funeral. It would be the immediate family, and we'll say the in-laws or the grandchildren, the extended family, would view online. With the introduction of webcams and live streaming, I mean, we've had to introduce to companies like Memorial Lane and Absent Friends to live stream services to families, in their, not only in their own homes, but to their loved ones in Australia or America or all around the world. This has enabled people to be part of the service while not being physically present. We've been able to have, I had a funeral there recently whereby a daughter couldn't attend and she gave part of her eulogy from her laptop at the altar, which we had never seen anything like that before. You walk in those people's shoes, the bereaved family's shoes, for 3 or 4 or 5 days. But you have to look after yourself afterwards. I mean, my way of doing it is going for a long walk. Now I can't go outside my 5 mile distance, so my local park has been my godsend to me for the last few months. And I just realise how lucky we are, to be able to work in this profession, how honoured we are. We honour lives of people every day, and people who have lived their lives, lived good lives, lived long lives, and we have honoured those. And also people who haven't had that chance, who have been taken way too quickly because of COVID or cancer or whatever the circumstances might be. So that makes me feel very honoured to be in a position whereby I can help those families. And it's also very rewarding. It's very rewarding to take somebody by the hand and lead them through 3 or 4 of the worst days of their lives and get them out the other side. Families have been wonderful, absolutely wonderful, and the general public have been wonderful. And it's just, it's been so dignified. It has been so heartwarming to see that, and to see that's still there, that community spirit is still there, that support is still there, while in a whole other different way, and people are finding ways of doing it. It always amazes me, leaving a family home on the morning of a funeral, the amount of people that come out in support, and they still manage to do that despite all the obstacles that has been put in their way, and despite, you know, the guidelines and everything, that they're still able to manage to show their support and do it properly by social distancing and just simple nod or a wave as the hearse moves off.
By June, we're going to see a large percentage of the country vaccinated. How does that make you feel?
I think it's wonderful. It gives everybody hope and optimism. The sooner our sector, the funeral directors and the whole funeral business get it, the vaccine, the better, because we are being compromised every day in different situations we go into, and it would be nice to have the security of knowing we have our vaccine. Ourselves and our families are safe when we go home and open our own hall door in the evening. With the masks, all we can see is people's eyes, and eyes tell a lot about a person and a lot about the suffering they're going through and what's going on in their lives. And we're seeing a lot of sad eyes at the moment. Everybody was equal in COVID. Every funeral was the same. From the funeral that would normally have all the pomp and ceremony attached, they were all equal. They all had the same guidelines. The families had the same guidelines to adhere to. It didn't make a difference who you were with COVID. Everybody got the same. And in a way, families found that very comforting, because they weren't worrying about the large crowds that were going to turn up, and they found it much, the service itself, much more meaningful, because they took part in it themselves as a family. There wasn't all the pomp and ceremony attached that possibly could have been attached, depending on the circumstances.